Today, as we get started, I want to begin by giving you a little bit of a test, presenting you with some information, some facts regarding a historical figure from way back in the 1970s, and then I'm going to see if you can figure out who it is that I have described. He was a brilliant general. He had won several battles for his nation, but over time, this general, he had become angry about how he felt and how he was being treated. Money was tight, and he had been passed over several times for a promotion. And then he hurt his leg in the battle, a battle that in the place called Saratoga. Because of that leg wound, it was possible that his military career was over. It was ended. He became bitter and resentful, and he actually switched sides. He betrayed his country, and he began fighting for the enemy. The enemy actually entrusted this general with 1,600 troops, 1,600 men, and they went and they attacked one of the major cities of that day. The city, it was a place called Richmond, Virginia. And to this day, this general's name, it is a byword of betrayal or treachery. Does anyone happen to have any idea who this general might be? And yes, there are hands going up. Anyone want to chime in?
Benedict Arnold.
Yes, exactly. We all know it. Once you start describing it, and treachery and betraying and stuff like that, Arnold, he had destroyed the city of Richmond, Virginia. Benedict Arnold. Not Eggs Benedict. That's after service, okay? What? When Arnold was leading the British forces, one of his former compatriots was a prisoner. They had captured this general, this other general, and so he was a little bit worried about what was going to happen to him, and so Benedict Arnold asked this question: what will the Americans do with me if they catch me? And this other general, he was a little bit witty, a little bit sharp, and he says to Benedict Arnold, they will cut off the leg which was wounded when you were fighting so gloriously for the cause of liberty, and they will bury it with honors of war. And the rest of you, they're just going to hang from the gibbet. Basically, they're going to hang the rest of you. Now, as you can imagine, that final judgment, it appealed to a lot of the American colonists. Benedict Arnold, he had betrayed his nation out of bitterness and pride, and they felt that he deserved to be properly punished. Ultimately, what he found out was that nobody really wanted him. You see, the Americans, they didn't want him around. And the British, well, they didn't really trust him. He was buried in a forgotten grave. And there was one historian who was out looking for the grave, hunting for Benedict Arnold's burial place. And he found it hidden behind some rubble with this lettering that was painted white on the concrete that told where he was. He's actually buried over in England. Today, as we are actually going to conclude this series we're going through in It's All About God, where we're talking about people's favorite verses, there are actually three portions of Scripture today. I'm really going to ask you to stand for the first one. Not right now. You can if you want. We'll get there in just a moment. You see, final judgment, you're all bouncing up. Final judgment, it appeals to us. It really does. We like the idea of judgment. And that's why these verses are saved for the end. The first one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. There's also Revelation chapter 20. And then Acts chapter 10. So I am going to ask you now, yes, would you please stand? You're getting your exercise going up and down right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. It reads like this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to our conscience. Thank you. May be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. We'll get to the other two in just a little bit down the line and stuff. But people, as I've said, people kind of like the idea of judgment. Not necessarily for themselves, mind you, but we actually find a lot of satisfaction and other people having to pay the price. How many of you have ever thought or heard, you know, hopefully karma will get you. I hope you get what you deserve. You know, if we all got what we deserved, not a single one of us would be here today right now and stuff like that. One person noted that God, he would not be a righteous God if there was not a time when sinners would finally be punished. You know, mass murderers, rapists, child molesters, crooked politicians, the list, it can go on and on and on. Our very essence, it cries out that there needs to be a day of judgment. Because if there is not a day of judgment, then God could not be a righteous God. The Bible repeatedly tells us that there is going to come a day when everyone will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what that person has done in the body, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Over and over again, the Bible drives that point home. Romans, it talks about people who are filled with all manner of unrighteousness. You know, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, of murder, of strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossipers, slanderers, haters of God. They are insolent, haughty. They are boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. And then Paul writes in Romans, because of your hard and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. On that day when, according to the Gospels, God judges the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. You see, that leads us to our second portion of Scripture. It's actually found in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 12 through 15, and it reads like this. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Daniel sums it up with these words in Daniel chapter 12. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You see, there will be a day of judgment because God, he is righteous. He is a righteous God. And it's so much a part of our message that nearly 80% of Americans believe that one day we will all be called before God at the judgment day to answer for our sins. That leads us to our third portion of Scripture, which is found in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10, verses 42 and 43. Peter declared, he, speaking of Jesus, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And that right there is part of our message. There is a time coming of judgment. There is judgment that is on the way, and each day it gets closer and closer, and none of us knows when it's going to be here. But the intriguing thing is that there are a lot of people who think that somehow they are going to get a pass because of their good deeds. See, they're not going to have to stand before judgment. They're not going to have to stand before Christ for any of this stuff because they're nice people. You know, I've done good things. According to a study, it was done all the way back in 2007, roughly half, 50% of Americans believe that they will go to heaven if they are generally good or they do enough good things. But only one-third believe that salvation is obtained only by accepting Jesus Christ. There's a reason for that. I think the reason is that this thinking, it's actually kind of ingrained into us. It's baked into to our thoughts, into our thinking. Here's an example. I'm going to give you some common American phrases. And let's see if you can complete them. You can work along with me on this, hopefully. We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. We steal it. You're thinking of the government. We earn money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. How about this one? There is no such thing as a free lunch. It could be a free lunch or a free meal. Either one of those work. There's no such thing as a free lunch. How about this one? There is no pain. No, I already ruined it. There is no gain without
pain.
That's right. No gain, no pain. No pain, no gain. Finally, one more. Here's one more. See if I can not mess this one up. God helps those who That's great, but theologically it's incorrect. It's really, really wrong. It's probably more like love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, but putting others before yourself. So that's not theologically correct, but in America it works. It works for us. See, everything about our American culture, about our American life, teaches us this simple truth. You get what you earn. You get what it is you work for. You get what you pay for. I don't think that there's anything really wrong with that. Shouldn't that be the American way? That we should be responsible people? We should be responsible individuals, and we work to take care of our families, to help somehow contribute to society. And I think in a social, in a society level, I think that works. But see, part of the problem is that many people believe that way about their relationship with God. They think that way about how they relate to God. You know, the same thing should be true. Somehow I should be able to work for my possessions and be able to get in there. I should be able to do good things and then get what I pay for. I should somehow be able to earn my salvation. Because if you pay for your salvation, then somehow you're not going to have to face judgment. But the problem is, it doesn't work that way. Go back to the days of Jesus when Jesus was walking the earth and there were a group of men. They were called the Pharisees. And Jesus, he didn't like them very much. As a matter of fact, Jesus kind of despised them for their self-righteousness, for the hypocrisy. But they were known. They were known to be very meticulous and making sure that they did everything right. They did try to do everything by the letter of the law. Because of their self-righteousness, they felt that, hey, we're a shoo-in with God. God will definitely take us because we're self-righteous. We've got it all figured out. And Jesus actually used those Pharisees as a measuring stick of righteousness. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the Pharisees, the men who were seen as being very righteous, but even their righteousness, it wasn't enough to gain heaven. That's another way of saying you cannot be good enough to be good enough to get into heaven. All of us, each and every one of us, you and me, all of us included, we have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. None of us, not a single one of us is righteous. Not one. That's what Romans tells us. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are told that before we became Christians, before we were Christ followers, before we were walking in communion of fellowship with Jesus Christ, we were by nature children of wrath, which meant that we deserved God's wrath just like the rest of mankind. And instinctively, I think we all know that anyway. And that's where the times when even the very best of Christians, the very best of us, we cringe when we remember all the bad words or the bad thoughts or maybe even the bad deeds, the things that we have done. We think about those, and it's possible that the guilt and shame, it comes and it sweeps over us like a flood. We start to say things like, I hate myself. Can't believe I would do that. Can't believe that was me. When that happens, we begin to question whether we're really nice people at all. And that's why I believe so many people are driven to try to pay off bad deeds with good deeds. You see, people, they try to see life like scales, kind of like a balancing act. And I don't have a scale here for you, so just try to play along with me a little bit, if you will. I do have crayons, though. Yay. You all think you're in children's church right now. I didn't steal them from children's church, just so you know, okay? And we do things, and we do bad stuff in our lives, and they end up over here, and then the scale gets out of balance. The bad thoughts, the bad deeds are over here. Maybe something else happened, and you're over there. And then the scale starts to weigh a little bit. These are people's lives over here. So you can see that if it was a scale, then it would be starting to tip this way, and it would get this way. And things would be out of balance. And our lives, when we're out of balance like this, we're out of balance, so we get uncomfortable. Things aren't going very well. So what do you do if your life is out of balance? Well, you try to do good things and see if somehow you can bring it back into balance. You put the good deeds and good things on the other side of the scale. People do so much evil things in their lives, it pulls their lives way, way out of balance. When Jesus was on earth, he spent much of his time with people who would be like this. You know, they'd really thrown their life out of balance. You know, prostitutes, tax collectors, sinners. But you see, those were the people, they had really messed their lives up. They were really messed up, and they knew it. And so somehow Jesus' message, it deeply appealed to them, knowing that somehow that they could get their life back into balance. And then to try to fix this major mess of their lives, people tend to work harder and harder, and we try to get more good stuff in our lives and more good stuff in our lives and doing good things. They hope that all this good stuff that they've done, this outpouring of righteousness, it will somehow bring balance back into their lives. But see, there's a few problems with this whole theology of the scales, of the balancing. The first is, there is no scoreboard. You ever go to a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game or any of those games, and there's this great big board and it has the score up there. It tells you what the score is. Helps you to keep track of what's going on and what's taking place. But you see, there is no scoreboard in life that tells you if you've done enough good to outweigh the bad that you've done. There's no way to check and see if your life's in balance. And I think that's why many people go through their lives, and if they're asked, hey, are you going to go to heaven? They say, I'm not sure. I hope so. And that's because they don't really know if they've done enough good stuff in their lives to outweigh the bad stuff. There is no scoreboard. Nothing to tell you. But you see, you notice if you add stuff to the good side, the scales, it doesn't remove the stuff from the bad side. It's still there. All the weight of your past, it's still there. Eventually, you know, this gets full and there's no more room. And scales, if you've ever seen any of those balancing scales, they're really only built to take so much weight. And if you start to get way too much weight on them. Yeah, I'll pick it up later, maybe. We got janitors. It's a mess. But you see, what God says is, hey, let me take care of that for you. Let me take the weight off your scale. There. Help put your life back together again. Now, if I had actually had a scale, I could take the scale and I could put the scale back together and put it all back and put it right. But we make a mess of our lives. Revelation, again, John tells us, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Wait, you mean to tell me there's a book of life? And the answer is yes, there is. And if my name is in that book, then I don't have to face judgment? Well, yeah, that's kind of correct. I mean, you can get a long discussion on all of that. Well, how do I get my name into that book? Well, Peter tells us in Acts chapter 10. He, again speaking of Jesus, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So when we belong to Jesus, when we accept Jesus Christ, when we confess Jesus, we receive forgiveness for our sins. God, he goes in, he removes all the bad stuff from our lives. And we are freed from the guilt and the shame that they bring. It's like the slate is just wiped clean. You know, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed them from us, our transgressions. Then all that's left on the scale are the good deeds. I think God loves good deeds. He just wants to make sure that we understand these good deeds, they don't save us. There's no way you can do enough good deeds to save you. The only thing that can save you is God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness of our sins when we believe in Jesus Christ and we repent of our sins, when we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, his forgiveness is the only thing that will save us, because without it, we face the final judgment. Do you believe that? Have you accepted Jesus Christ? Are you doing your very best to follow after him, allowing him to cleanse you, to save you?